Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 13, 2022. Attack the concealment of the Creator. Question: how can we maintain the special connection that we have tuned into among ourselves at the Congress? Answer: Kabbalah, on the one hand, is a somewhat unrealistic science because it does not operate within the physical qualities of our sensations. On the other hand, it is absolutely real because we must not only study and explore it, but also create it, and not simply create it, but do so out of our opposite qualities. In this movement of studying the opposite qualities, we must attract the concealed upper force of nature that holds, nourishes, births, saturates and fills everything. This is a quality of bestowal. It comes through a little, but it is still manifested and perceived by us, in our egoistic qualities. And here, in connection with each other, we must manifest these qualities of nature, the qualities of selfless bestowal. And in the measure we strive for this, we begin to feel that there is such a quality of real, true love in nature, which is called the Creator. But it is concealed because we ourselves conceal it, since we do not have such qualities and feelings or such relations between us. Therefore, the Creator broke the original single desire He created so that in all possible attempts to connect between us, we could somehow understand what is opposite to us, and start trying to reveal it and pull it out of concealment. So we will act as the Kabbalists advise us. We will attack the concealment of the Creator because there is only Him and His concealment, which we must negate with our efforts. We need to create such connections between us, in order to reveal this quality of love and bestowal. Then, in the way our relationships resemble the Creator, He will be revealed in them. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022. Approaching the Creator through the network of connections between us, Lesson 1. Creating the Creator out of common desires. Question: you said that the Creator does not exist. How do we become something that does not exist? Answer: just build Him. Create a Creator out of your feelings, desires, yearnings, and relationships, otherwise He does not exist. After all, the Creator is revealed only with regard to us, so we cannot say whether something exists outside of us, and without us, at all. One day we will acquire the ability to feel something outside of us. But this is already in the complete quality of bestowal when we rise above ourselves and all of us, begin to work with reflected light. Then we will enter new realms of connection and integration. It is ahead of us, it is not far. Basically, the Creator is something that is attained and created between us. So let's build Him. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. Strive to create the Creator between us. Question: when we get some minimal revelation, do we still remain researchers of the shattering? Is that our role in this world anyway? Answer: no, our job is that at the same time we reveal our shattering, separation, and the opposition between us, we would strive for the opposite, which means to unite all the way to love. We should not stop only at revealing that we are egoists and engage in self-criticism. We should strive precisely to create the Creator between us. Question: and afterward? Answer: and afterward, to reveal the Creator means to create a Creator from our destroyed, mutilated relationships. This is what building the Creator, revealing Him, means. Comment: but then, further ahead, step after step, we march into the shattering. It's like we're going to help put the world together piece by piece. My response: because we reveal this whole world as our state. Not only am I with you or with the ten, but we are beginning to reveal that the whole world is every single one of us, and so we achieve a complete attitude to the whole world. These are our desires, we must put them all together, and not only on the human, but at the same time on the animal, vegetative, and inanimate levels. And all this will be the substrate for us, the basis on which we will feel the appearance of the Creator, meaning the revelation of the qualities of love between all, the quality of the highest connection, the fullest inclusion in each other. In this increasing, progressive inclusion within each other, we will begin to attain the kind of quality called Creator, but precisely in relation to us. In general, this quality is the only thing that exists in the universe, and there is none else but Him. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. Do not wait. Act. Question: is it correct to wait for everything in the ten to turn into good, so that all friction disappears? Answer: I don't think it's right to wait. It will not work. You can wait an infinite number of years until the upper force starts to force you to move forward with a stick from above so that you understand that your condition needs to be corrected. In no case can we wait for something that has to happen someday. This is the worst attitude to life. We must act. If you help each other in your group, then it is no longer scary and not difficult. By doing this, you are excited by others, and you act on them yourself and thus move forward. If the right relationships are built between friends in the group and you start pushing them so that they begin to work, then automatically everyone helps each other, inspires each other, and everybody moves forward. And waiting is the most dangerous feeling. There is nothing to wait for. Question: if I am in a group, I should not accept quarrels, frictions, and interferences within the ten. Is that right? Answer: no. All this needs to be corrected, not just rejected. I'm talking about being active. In this regard, everyone should understand each other. If I do not inspire others, then they will not inspire me and we will not advance. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. Michael Leitman, On the Times of Israel: when it is bad in the world, it is bad for Israel. When something bad happens in the world, no matter what, Jews can prepare to take the blame for it. In the end, it somehow always comes, so there's nothing to be surprised about every time. Just a few days ago, the founder of a Utah tech company emailed a number of colleagues and political leaders claiming that the COVID-19 vaccine was part of a plan by the Jews for the systematic extermination of billions of people. The CEO of the Utah tech firm Intrata, David Bateman, had to resign his position after his conspiracy theory about the pandemic as part of a Jewish plot to consolidate all the countries in the world under a single flag with totalitarian rule triggered condemnation. If we examine history, we see that the Jews have always been at the epicenter of the storm when the world was busy recovering from a blow. Even though it is not politically correct to say so out loud, the prevailing opinion in humanity is that the Jews run the world and its governments with all the money they have. And when it benefits them, Jews provoke wars and organize crises all over the world, all in their own self-interest, always pulling the strings and compelling others to work for them. At times when something seems to be beyond Jewish control, it is only because they have decided to give others the deceptive feeling, the little break. Even people who have never seen Jews feel that this is how the world is run. Our own sources explain the origin of this perception: no calamity comes to the world but for Israel, our sages noted long ago. They made a direct connection between the quality of relations between Jews and world peace. As it is written, we are commanded at each generation to strengthen the unity among us, so our enemies do not rule over us. The Book of Consciousness: we Jews should be united, connecting with each other according to the great rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Since this almost never happens, a blockage is created that hinders the flow of beneficial power into the world. At the same time, The power of evil constantly increases, and selfishness spreads. This negative balance is the cause of many problems, and much suffering is inflicted on humanity. On the part of the great natural system, the good force in our world remains unrevealed, it stays hidden. Only through the Israeli nation can it be revealed, for we are by definition responsible for the world's development and peace. As the Midrash Rabbah writes, Israel bring light to the world. Song of Songs: in Abraham's time, when we were properly connected, well-being flowed through us, to the world, but since unfounded hatred destroyed our unity, this path has been blocked. This is why the world perceives us as the cause of all evil. Even if one does not understand how the system is structured, and even if the connection between the Jews and the resulting bad phenomena is not visible, it is instinctively clear to people that the Jews are to blame for every problem, from the life of the individual to the whole of humanity. When will it stop? Never, unless we take action and change the quality of our relations. This is a law of nature. The negative attitude towards us will only increase until we treat each other with love and become like one man in one heart. Only in this state will the pipe that we are obstructing open its bounty, a positive force will come into the world and balance all evil. Humanity will begin to feel harmony, tranquility and serenity, and will enjoy a good life in reciprocity and reconciliation. Medium published my new article, A Letter to a Viewer Who Discovered That Everything Is a Lie. Valentine, a frequent viewer of my shows with filmmaker Semyon Vanoka, wrote in that lately, he has come to feel that everything is a lie: the government is lying, his bosses are lying, the media is lying, and there is no truth anywhere. He then asked how he can go on living when there is no one or nothing he can trust. He added that he has never felt it so acutely, and asked for my response. Below is my response to Valentine: deceit and egoism are the nature of the world. In the beginning of our emotional and spiritual development, we do not feel it. Just as we do not tell little children that there are bad people with bad intentions in the world, but save that morose information until they grow and can handle it, nature does not reveal to us the depth of human selfishness and willingness to exploit everything and everyone. Therefore, the fact that you have made the discoveries you are describing means you have developed to the point where you are ready to reveal the true nature of the world, that egoism is the core of human nature. When a person realizes this for the first time, he feels lost and does not know where to run. Some people take off to remote places like deserted islands where they can live alone and isolate themselves from the outside world. Others think that if they accrue wealth, they will secure their future and the future of their children. Neither will diminish the fear. The reason we discover the true nature of the world is so we may ask about its meaning. First comes the realization that the world is built on egoism, then the question why it is built this way, and finally the realization that only recognizing who we are will prompt us to step out of selfishness and embrace a different and genuinely kind nature. The world is built the way it is so we may change it. Only when we realize how deeply we are all immersed in self-absorption will we want to change. The only way to make ourselves aware of this is to really make ourselves that way, selfish to the core, and then bring this truth to our awareness. When we look at the world around us, and see wickedness and cruelty, we must know that they are there for a reason. Even if we see political leaders whom we think are ruthless and mean, for example, we should not seek to remove them from office because those who will replace them will be even worse. Instead, we must keep in mind that any negativity we see it so we may wish to rise above it toward caring for others and connection with them. Improvement must begin with people understanding what is going on and why, and striving to build good ties with people, all people. If we change, the world will change with us. If we correct our hearts will correct our perception and we will realize why everything happens and how we can help bring the world to balance. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, which human activity causes the most harmful change in the natural environment. Nature, which includes humanity, is a single, integral and closed system. Humans hold the highest level in nature, that is, out of the four levels, still, vegetative, animate and human. We are the highest level, because we have the innermost influence on nature, not just physically and mechanically, for instance, with the development of our technologies, but also mentally and emotionally. As such, while it might appear that our technological and industrial activity causes the most harm to the natural environment, what really causes the most harm are our negative attitudes to each other. The hatred that exists on the human level, which does not exist on nature's other levels, corrupts nature. On one hand, we are in a closed, interconnected and interdependent system, and on the other hand, our negative attitudes toward each other in such a system negatively affect all kinds of connections between us and nature. What we need to understand is that we exist in a field of thoughts and desires. Beyond the physical forces that we see and feel with our senses, we increasingly discover that there are deeper forces at work. For instance, we once lived in periods where we did not know that electricity, radio waves and atomic energy existed, but we eventually discovered these forces. We are coming closer to the threshold of discovering that our negative thoughts, desires and attitudes toward each other harm nature more than any physical activity that we conduct, for instance, more than chopping down trees or burning fossil fuels, as we commonly think about it. Also, the most harmful thoughts and desires toward our natural environment are those where we wish to harm each other. If we focus on correcting our thoughts, desires and attitudes toward each other, we would likewise discover a favorable response from nature. We would see how all kinds of phenomena that we perceive as negative, such as natural disasters, would decrease the more that we engage in shifting our attitudes to each other from negative to positive, egoistic to altruistic and hateful to loving. Based on the video, hatred of people is the most destructive force in the ecosystem with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The mind, a link to universal consciousness. Question. Scientists that researched the human brain tried to find a mechanism that controls a person and utilizes all of the brain's capabilities. But they didn't find the answer. Perhaps they weren't looking in the right place? Answer. Of course, not. Our brain is a very serious transitional link both between ourselves and between each of us, and the external universal world consciousness. In fact, all souls are interconnected by a very complex network of mutual connection, not only people and not just on the level of our world to the extent of the scope of its information, but at the level of a much deeper and more capacious informational connection. Therefore, to say that we could find the source of actions, thoughts, feelings, decisions, desires, or anything that happens to us, inside a person is completely incorrect. All these invisible, imperceptible connections pass through us, through billions of other souls and bodies, and return back again. This is a huge common whole organism that we do not know and do not feel. But Kabbalists do feel it. They perfectly attain how this organism works. It is called the radiance of the Shehinah, the radiance of the entire universe, of the common desire and common thought where all humanity unites in thoughts and aspirations at the highest level in its corrected state with the Creator. In the end, everyone will attain this. Then we will know what the scientists were trying to find out. Otherwise, we will never have complete information. Question. Can we say that by researching the brain, scientists are looking for the root of our origin? Answer, yes. But, actually, there is nothing inside the brain. The brain is a very small receiver of information. In fact, the work of each cell of the body is determined by the organism, but in order for the cell to learn what the organism requires of it, there is a small device in it that adapts it to the whole organism. This is what our brain is. From CabTV's close-up. Anamnesis, February 19, 2010. Separate education or who to take the cue from? Question: is it necessary to bring up boys and girls separately? Answer: the separation of boys and girls will not achieve anything. It will not lead to the correct results unless it is carried out in the system suggested by Kabbalah. Artificial separation is like two camps, male and female, against each other. It will cause even greater misperceptions of reality and needs and not realizing them in both girls and boys. Perhaps what we have today is still better than such forcible separation. Question: recent studies have shown that co-education of boys and girls leads not only to changes in their behavior whereby a boy becomes sort of effeminate and the woman takes the leading position, but also to a change on the chromosome level. There is a complete leveling usually of male chromosomes. Scientists explain this by some external factors, but, nevertheless, they already understand that this factor exists. Training should still be separate. But you say that it just won't help. Why doesn't that solve the problem? Answer: and what do you give them by doing that? You are simply moving them apart. That is, you do not allow the male part to mutually influence the female part, and the female part do the same to the male part. Boys no longer get an example in the form of a woman teacher, in the form of a nanny. As a result, they get male examples. Of course, in the future this, perhaps, will make them more correctly realize themselves. But what are the examples? In what way should he be like a man, and who is this man? The man is this collective image. What is it? And the girls get the example of a woman, they rotate among their girlfriends, play their games together, and so on. That's right. But who is this woman they are following? What is this image? What does she teach them by her example? Therefore, first of all, it is necessary to find such teachers who, in separate education, would give children the correct upbringing. From Cab TV's close-up. Lady Gaga Generation March 10, 2010.